I encourage you to jot down some of the references tonight. They would be worthy of our attention, worthy of our memorization to help us in our Christian walk. And the first one is 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Faith is the opposite of fear. Faith, the opposite of fear. Follow me now. Trust is the opposite of terror. We need to trust our Lord. And if we don't, we're going to experience terror through the situations of life. And so hope is the opposite of horror. Hope. Dependence, the opposite of dread. For every good way of looking at what God wants us to do with assurance, we can trust Him. The devil attacks our outlook with the opposite, which is anxiety. And so there are plenty of things that we're tempted to fear and be anxious about. Things like, the fear of darkness, that's one of them. The fear of storms. How many of you remember Mrs. Trump? Oh, dear Mrs. Trump, live right down here on 74. And she would get high-pitched when she'd get real nervous, and she would say, "Oh, I don't know if we're going to have a bad storm or not." And she'd talk like that. But I remember she had a lot of fears about storms, and sometimes we would call her during a storm just to calm her. But fear of storms, fear of danger, fear of extreme heights. Some have that. Fear of death, fear of being alone. There's the fear of traveling in airplanes. Amen. I won't mention Butch here, but there's the fear of driving a car and the fear of a spider, a fear of a mouse or a snake or a wasp, or fears of dogs. Some people have a fear of public speaking, and so they're afraid to be up front. Some have a fear of meeting people or witnessing. Some a fear of becoming a preacher. Oh my, I'd do anything except preach. Fear of making decisions, a fear of losing a job, and on it could go. There are so many potential fears, and the devil will use anyone that he can grab in our lives to get us to focus on fear instead of faith. There are a lot of things that people are afraid of. I found a list of phobias as I studied for this. Have you heard of these different fears? Cyberphobia, the fear of computers. Some people have that. Some preachers that I deal with must have cyberphobia because they won't touch a computer. Lunaphobia, the fear of the moon. Chromatophobia, which is the fear of money. I don't know. I wonder what it is. The fear of not having money. Maybe that would be one. Homilophobia. We have the word homiletics. That's preaching. And so it's a fear of sermons. Maybe you have that tonight. I don't know. Pelidophobia, which is a fear of baldness. Amen. Todd's gotten over that. In fact, Todd reminds me of that weather announcer on WGAL. What's his name? What?
Joe Calhoun.
Yeah, I see Joe Calhoun, and I tell Shirley, I said, "There's their answer to Todd." Anyway, ecclesiophobia, which is a fear of church, astrophobia, a fear of lightning. Europhobia is a fear of the color red. I never heard of that. And triskaidekaphobia, which is a fear of the number 13. And phobophobia, fear of fear. That's right. So there are a lot of fears. There are hidden fears that motivate us, too. There's the fear of failure. It causes many people to never start or try anything that is not completely safe. There's a fear of rejection that makes us afraid to do anything that could draw criticism or someone laughing at us. All fears are grouped into two categories. There's good fear and bad fear or harmful fear. The good fear keeps us from driving 100 miles an hour, or 150. I guess I have driven 100 a time or two. But 150 miles an hour. Out in Montana, you're allowed to do that, you see. There's the a good fear of picking up a rattlesnake. Yeah, I have a healthy fear of that. I don't want to be around a rattlesnake. Jumping off a building, that's a good fear to have. Eating poison. And the fear of the Lord is a good fear to have. It's healthy, and it's the beginning of wisdom. So we need to have that fear. In fact, we ought to have that fear. There are harmful fears, though, like the fear, the spirit of fear that's mentioned here in 2 Timothy 1. This fear paralyzes us and keeps us from doing the things that we know we ought to do. I wonder if you have a fear that you need to overcome tonight, a harmful fear, a wrong fear, fear that doesn't honor God. When God gives you a new assignment, when God brings something new into your life, when God sends you down a new path in your life, He knows that you're going to have to overcome a fear in that assignment or in that new path. As early as Genesis 15:1, when God gave directions to Abraham, He prefaced them with, "Fear not, Abram," because it was a new direction, a new path, and God knows in those new paths that we need to fear not. When Hagar cried out to God for help in the wilderness, God prefaced His deliverance in Genesis 21:17 with those words, "Fear not, I'm with you, Hagar. It's going to be all right. Dial it back, calm down. We're going to see it through." Why? Because whenever God asks us to travel in unfamiliar territory, He knows that we're going to have to overcome the fear of an uncharted path in our life. When Jehoshaphat and Judah had to fight a battle against the confederation of countries, God foresaw that they would fear. I would too. And God knows that. And so He told them in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the what? The salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem." Here it is. "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." The key to us not fearing the direction and the path that we're going to have to take is that we know that God will be with us as we go down that path. Another example, God wanted Mary and Joseph to marry, to have a wedding, get married, and have the Christ child, but when He told them in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, He sent an angel to them to warn them that they fear not. New direction, and He knows we'll be tempted to fear. When Jesus prepared to leave earth and return to heaven, He told the 12 disciples in John chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be" what? Troubled. In other words, don't fear. 63 times in the Bible we find the phrase, "fear not." I think God is sending us a message. He doesn't want us to have to fear. But there are all kinds of fears that we could have. There's a lot of situations that can happen in our lives that can strike a note of fear. But fear must be overcome every time God dispatches us to a new path. But God and Christ have commanded us to fear not. I believe that God may be saying to someone tonight, "Fear not." You've had a change in direction this week, perhaps. Maybe you got a pink slip, or maybe something in your home, or something else in your life, your health. And God doesn't want us to dwell and fret,
oh, what am I going to do?
No, you have God with you. You're going to be all right. Each of us must overcome our fear. Now, how do we do that? Overcoming the spirit of fear is the title tonight. And I want to talk about that in these points. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name now, I pray for the things that you have given me, that they may be a great encouragement to your people. I don't know what all the folks are going through in our fellowship or those who are listening to us by internet live stream, but I know, Lord, that you're a God of that we just need to trust and have faith in, and that you're with us, and we can dispel the fear. It's a spirit of fear, and it doesn't come on us for any good. We pray, Heavenly Father, for victory over that tonight, overcoming the spirit of fear. I pray somebody will experience that in Jesus' name. Amen. Understanding, number one, understand how Satan stirs up the spirit of fear. Now, we need to understand a little bit about what he does. It says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. God hasn't given us fear and anxiety. This is not what he's given to us. Not the bad kind of fear. Not ever. Ask yourself then, well, where did this come from? Well, it came from Satan if it didn't come from God. Who would want us to disobey God? Who would want us to enter into a path that God wants us to go, or a path that he has designed for us, and do it all burdened down with fear and anxiety? Who would want us to hesitate? And who would want us to be miserable on the pathway in this life? Who is that? Who would want God's vision to be squelched in our life? Well, that's Satan, of course. Now, how does he do it? Well, number one, Satan uses past sins to condemn us. He reminds us of our weaknesses and our failures in order to beat us down until we feel unworthy and incapable to do what God is asking us to do. Well, you know, I can't really expect God to help me in this. I guess I'll have to just face it with fear. No, you don't. We need to stand up and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that's where it's coming from. Secondly, Satan uses our potential failure to scare us. Potential bad news. He loves to pose questions that assume our failure, intending to create doubt and fear in us. What if you can't do that, what God is expecting you? What if you do something wrong in attempting this? What if you fail? What will everybody say? That's appealing to our pride, because we don't ever want to look bad, right? And so we won't venture out. Satan uses the certainty of criticism. You know that if you take this step, somebody will criticize you. Listen, somebody will always criticize a leader. When Gene Ingalls oversaw the building of the annex, you think that Gene got any criticism? Well, how many of you were here when all of that was happening? Let me see your hand. We got another number of folks, but we also have a lot of folks that weren't here in that time. And I can tell you, yes, he did get. Gene's here. Did you, Gene? Yeah, yes, he did. Tom Albright, I don't believe he is here tonight, but Tom got criticism when we were building the foyer, and he was supervising that and the renovations in the church. Do you think that our pastor gets any criticism when he preaches 200 times a year and counsels from the Bible and sometimes has to confront people and their issues? You think he gets some criticism? I would imagine he does. In fact, I know he does. Don't be afraid of criticism. Yes, it will come, but usually it'll come from somebody that's never done it, never done what you're doing, you need to have tougher skin than to have a fear of criticism as you're facing your path. Jesus had critics too, and you will, if you're going to do the will of God, you'll have some critics. There's always an armchair quarterback who's never thrown a pass, never run from an oncoming lineman for his life. There's always somebody who knows how it should have been done. Our pastor, we built a building, and they were able to enumerate 77 problems in the building after we got it built on video. Video pictures of 77 mistakes in the building. Well, he didn't do the mistakes. The builder did the mistakes. But one guy in our church just got all inflamed. It was all your fault, preacher. I thought, oh boy. Christ plans for us to have abundant life, the Bible says in John 10. And Satan loves to steal, kill, and destroy us in any way that he can. And he wants to get you to avoid taking your next step of obedience, whatever that is. He wants to stop you from pleasing God. He wants to stop you from growing in grace. Maybe your next step is to be baptized by immersion in water. And so he'll create that fear, or have you just keep putting it off and putting it off, and you never get it done. Or maybe being faithful to all the services, and you won't pull the trigger on that thing and rearrange your schedule so that you can be here every service. That's God's plan. From stepping out by faith to do God's will. And so whatever it is, fear is one of Satan's tools to stop us. All right? Understand how Satan stirs up the spirit of fear. Number two, learn how to overcome fear from the Apostle Paul. Let's learn tonight together how to do it. Philippians, let's go there. That's a great positive book, encouraging book. Philippians chapter 4. Here, Paul's prescription for overcoming fear as a Christian. Each one of these will be practice daily something. All right? In chapter 4 and verse 4, here's how he says to do it. Practice daily joy. Daily joy. He says in 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, I think this was written from prison, wasn't it? Quite an example that Paul was in prison and he could say this, which means he was practicing this. You and I have to consciously decide to sing through our fears. Joy is an act of our will to depend upon God and His truth as I go through this trial. I'm going to do it by an act of my will. It's a determination not to succumb to fears, all kinds of fears. Rehearse all that God has done for you. Remind yourself that of who God is. He is all-powerful. He has a purpose for me. He is loving. He has all wisdom and knowledge. He is all-knowing. He's patient. Our God is kind. He's been kind to me. Has he been kind to you? Yes. He is faithful. He is sovereign. He wants the best for me and for you. My steps are ordered by the Lord. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. God is enough. All we need is God to get through our trial. Now, if you don't believe that, you're going to have trouble in your trial. If you don't believe that, fear is going to come on you because the devil will make sure there's a fear associated with it. And God knows when he gives new direction, there's going to be fear. And if you do not believe that God is enough to get you through it, you're going to have a real problem. You need God, but God is enough. Joy is a decision that you make every day to be content. And joy helps dispel fear. Joy helps dispel fear. In fact, I think it makes the devil downright mad when we have a joyful spirit in the midst of all of it. Paul commanded believers to rejoice in the Lord always. In the last couple of weeks, I had to try a new medicine. The Dunbars were here. You remember when the Dunbars were here a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night? And they came over to the house, and while they were over at the house, that medicine started acting weird. At one point, this arm went completely numb and ached and throbbed. And I said, look at this, I can't even move that arm. And the next day, my leg went numb, just went numb. And God is good, however, and God showed us to correlate it to that medicine. Quit the medicine, quit the problems. And that's what we did. Now, I don't know about what will happen if I'm not taking the medicine, but at least I'm not having those problems, and I'm happy about that. So practice daily joy. Paul also taught in the next verse, practice daily patience. Very next verse, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. A lot of fear and anxiety is really anger at not being able to control our situation the way that we want to control it. Can you relate? Hello? Yeah. So we fear and we become anxious, but it's really anger. And we're upset because we're not in control anymore. The word here, moderation, look it up, means patience. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Paul's saying, quit being anxious. He's saying, quit being anxious. Calm it down. Other people need to see a Christian going through this trial, a Christian going down this pathway, a Christian who's facing this, but he's not fearing, he's not full of anxiety as he's going through it. He's trusting in the Lord. Let your moderation be known to all men. Amen. It's a testimony thing. God is with you, and it's going to be all right. It's out of your control, but it's not out of His control. Boy, there's a great statement. You ought to latch on to that. It's out of my control, but it's not out of His control. This waiting is not sitting and on your hands and doing nothing. That's where I disagree with a number of evangelist friends of mine. I have some evangelist friends, and they say, yeah, I haven't gotten any calls for quite a while for a meeting. I said, well, is that how you get your meetings? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I just trust God that you know, somebody's going to call me. And they may preach one time a month, if that. And one preacher I talked to, evangelist, hadn't preached a revival in 2 years. I said, I think that we can put forth our best foot. Yes. And we can make a phone call. Yes. I just called a guy in Texas this week, and I tried to call him back in 2013, couldn't connect on the date, but he told me when I called him, he said, I've been wanting to have you come in. But see, he wouldn't have called me. So when I called him, he said, let's put this thing together. And we did. And I think we need to not just be sitting on our hands and do nothing, but I think we ought to be, storming the ramparts. And so if we ought to be out to try to win people to the lost, rather than waiting for them all to come to us, I think we ought, as evangelists, to be on the phone. I don't know. That's free. Now, Christ said, occupy till I come. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. It's not sitting at home and doing nothing until you get clear direction. I'm just going to sit here and zone out. You have clear direction. Clear direction means get in church. God can speak to you while the preacher's preaching, while the Sunday school class is going on. Live for Christ. Be patient as you are being obedient. All right? Practice daily joy. Practice daily patience. Number three, in the very next verse, Paul writes, practice daily trust and prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is how we overcome Satan and how we overcome fear. It's prayer. Prayer. Let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is an act of trust. And we say, okay, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know we know it. The question is, do we do it? At the point, we say, all right, we have an uncontrollable situation, out of my control. It's a fearful situation. It could go either way. And what can I do? Well, practice joy, practice patience, and then practice daily trust and prayer. The only way to overcome anxiety is to trust in the Lord in prayer for our burdens. Paul says, don't be fretful. In fact, the psalmist said, don't be fretful. Rather, in everything, pray. Give your fears and your anxieties and your situations to God. Pray them back to God. And I do it like this. I say, God, you see exactly what I'm going through, but let me rehearse it for you. This is what I see, and this is what I'm feeling, and this is the path, and these are the options. And I just want you to know I'm laying them out, like Hezekiah, laying them out before the Lord. And I'm trusting you to make your will plain through all of this. And I'm going to take my hand off of it and trust you. Now, the truth is, an hour later, I may have to pray the same prayer again. Because we have a tendency to take up that burden again, don't we? Take up that fear again. So I may have to pray again in an hour. It may not take an hour. It may be a half an hour I have to do it. I may have to do it several times in a day, but if I'm serious about trusting it to the Lord, I will be faithful to pray and trust Him with it. Do that over and over again as many times as you have to get relief. And when fear dominates us, I wonder if we're really praying. I wonder if we've really, really taken this thing to the Lord, or if we've just thought about doing it, or if we've gotten on the phone and talked to somebody else, maybe even talked to the preacher about it, but we haven't talked to the Lord about it. Now, the preacher can do a lot of things and counsel and give us a lot of advice and be an encouragement to us, but I got to believe the one we need to take it to first is the Lord. Take it to the Lord. In the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, here's the verse. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. It's needless. We don't have to bear all this stuff if we take it to the Lord in prayer. James wrote something similar when he said, we have not because we ask not. We fail to pray. And so we fail to get the answer. And that's in the book of James. Isaiah, that's a great one to memorize, by the way. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so daily trust and prayer. Practice it. To overcome fear, Paul says, practice daily joy, patience, trust, and prayer. What about reflection? Rehearsing what God has done for us in the past. In verse 7, Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Now, when you are in fear, you are not in peace. Are we in agreement? When you're full of fear and you're sitting there and you're, I don't know what to do next here. I'm just in a quandary and we're in fear. We're not in peace. But he says, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. take time to contemplate the many ways that God has calmed you down in a storm or in troubles in the past. Think about it. In that reflection, you need to practice mind control. Determine what to think, not to dwell on whatever pops into your mind. I have to do that. That's a hard one for me. But what helps me is that song, Count Your Many Blessings. You want to get on top of that fear, on that anxiety? Take time to count your many blessings. The song says to do what? Name them one by one. I take it a step further. Make a praise list. Make a list of what God has done and blessed you, how he's answered prayer in your life. And if you do that on an ongoing basis, you have a ready reference that you can do this. Inventory the good things in your life and around your life. In Philippians chapter 4, context now, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We don't do that enough. And especially in a time of fear, get your mind on the good things and make your list and praise the Lord for what he's done. A great mistake in a Christian's life when we don't do that. If we inventory the good things, we would have more gratitude and dwell on those things instead of on all the problems in our situation. And the last thing Paul mentions is in verse 9, practice daily obedience of what you know you ought to do. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? Do. Do. That's obedience. And the God of peace shall be with you. And so that fear, that'll turn to peace if we're just practicing daily obedience. Notice that when we do this, we have the God of peace come on the scene and calm us down. And boy, do we need that. So how did Paul teach us to overcome fear? Daily, practice. Daily, joy, patience, trust and prayer, reflection, remembering, in other words, and obedience. Finally, regarding fear, we can learn from David and Goliath, and I just want to go to that story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. David and Goliath. That story can teach us a lesson. 17:32, 1 Samuel. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, we remember that the Philistine was big. He was probably as tall as Brad. I think bigger. One of the NBA players, 7 feet. I think bigger. If you look it up, he was 9 feet tall. 9 feet if you translate the cubits. And so David was just a shepherd boy. However tall he was, I don't know, but he wasn't anywhere near that. How did David face Goliath without fear? All of us have our Goliaths that God wants us to conquer in our life. All of us have those things that intimidate us day after day, those fears that haunt us and accuse us and make us miserable or have the potential to. There are some things you shouldn't do to overcome your Goliath. One of them is don't lose your enthusiasm, your zest. A second one is don't focus on your fear and how you can't do it. Don't focus on that. Don't become zeroed in on your fear. Another one not to do is don't isolate yourself and go into a shell. Because I've seen people do that. Sometimes they don't come out. Don't withdraw when the spirit of fear comes on you. This is where selfishness just takes over and you start feeling sorry for yourself. And this is where you start making dumb statements like, well, I have to take time to find myself. Let's see. I see you right now. Yeah, I can find you. What do you mean find yourself? I have to get a grip on who I am after all. Who you are is a sinner. And if you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. And you have a God that's willing to help you. You don't have to go on into all this self introspection stuff. I have to take time for me and take care of me. That's the me generation, but that's not the Christian generation. We aren't headed in that direction. Well, church doesn't work for me anymore. Well, then I wonder if it ever worked for you. What do you mean church doesn't work for you? It's not about the church. It's about a Lord and Savior, a person, Jesus Christ, and His Word. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, yet flying in the face of all of this self-attention and excuses of why I can't do what God wants me to do is Paul's declaration for all of us when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He didn't say, I can do easy things, but then when the tough things come, well, I'm not very good at that. No. We can do all things. He didn't say, I can do a few things. I can do them all through Christ. Therefore, quit dwelling on what you can't do. I can't overcome this. Yes, you can. You're listening to the devil who's a liar. And you can do it, and you can't do it alone. You need the Lord, but with Christ with you, you can do everything. The sky's the limit. Therefore, trust God, put one foot in front of the other, and just do it. Plow through it with joy in your heart, amen, with the peace of God guiding you, and with Christ right with you, you can make it. You don't even need psychotropic drugs to make it. Now, what should we do then? Those are some things we shouldn't do. Don't lose your enthusiasm, don't focus on the fear, and don't isolate yourself and go into a shell. But what should we do? First of all, face it. Face it. No one was willing to face the giant but David. He said, listen, I'll take care of him. And he went right out and faced him. You need to have the courage and faith to go out against your Goliaths with the confidence that David had that God will empower you to overcome it. By God's help, I'm going to overcome it. I got God on my side. And God and me make a majority. And remember, you are not alone. Face your Goliath tonight with the Lord. Number two, recall how God has helped you in the past. We've already referred to that. But David did it. He rehearsed how God had empowered him to kill a lion and a bear without a gun. And recover the lost sheep. He killed them. And he was rehearsing that. God can deliver me from the bear and the lion. He'll deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand. And so what victories has the Lord helped you to gain in the past? Think through that. Tell others about it. Then realize you can't fight fear the world's way. Well, Saul wanted David to put on his armor. Good night. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody in the kingdom of Israel. Not Goliath, but everybody else. And of course, his armor would not fit David. And so, don't expect the world's armor. How does God get the glory and the credit if you defeat Goliath and you have the world's armor? That's not the way we do it. And finally, rise and get on with your life. Make sure what the will of God is and just do it. Just do it. From verse 52, we learn that after David triumphed over the giant, the army of Israel was able to attack the Philistine army, and they defeated the whole army. But before that, for 40 days, there was a standstill between these two armies, and fear paralyzed the Israeli army, and fear paralyzes us. And we just sit there, and all we do all day long is dwell on whatever our fear is. We're thinking about that until we're not productive. We can't do the other things that God wants us to do. We have to stay at home because of the fear, and we're just paralyzed, and that's the way they were. But when we fight it with God's resources, we are able not only to triumph, but to move forward in our lives. God wants you to move on in your life. And brethren, you can have victory over fear and anxiety in your life. Yes, you can. Overcoming the spirit of fear.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.